Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, hour number three, Lance Zierlein, Del Olalea here with you along with Sean Mapes. And we are big football fans here. The NFL season's officially underway after the beginning of the, well, we had camp. To me, that's when NFL season officially begins. But also when Mike Sando's NFL quarterback tier comes out. That and Bruce Feldman's freak list, when those two come out, one for college football, one for the NFL, and they're both with The Athletic, that's when I start really paying attention. And joining us right now is one of the best conduits, I think the best conduit from, in terms of NFL coaches and front office and their thoughts and feelings about people and things in the league. And the guy who's directly associated with that is Mike Sando. So he's kind of one of my go-tos when it comes to that. He should be one of yours as well. Mike joins us right now. And Mike, your quarterback list, obviously here in Houston, of note is C.J. Stroud. We talk a lot about C.J. Stroud on this show because he's just his level of play, his consistency could directly correlate with a chance to win a Super Bowl because the defense is that good. If I read correctly, he has gone from a tier one after his rookie season to a tier two after his second season, and now the tier three where he was the 20th quarterback. Last year he was ninth. When you used a phrase in your write-up of C.J. Stroud, which was ambivalence, talk about what you mean about the ambivalence of the people you spoke with around the league as it pertains to C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on. He was tier two when he started out, so he, okay. He had, I think he was about eighth overall, but people thought, hey, he could go to a one, sure. You know, and even after, I think he was eighth, and then he went ninth, so not a big fall, but then a big one down to like 20th. And so, you know, that's why ambivalence, I mean, there's mixed feelings because you know you've seen him play well. Even during the last couple of years, he's played well at times, but you're torn between how much to hold him to account for, you know, what is also potentially partially an offensive line issue in that he appears to be affected by pressure and perceived pressure without necessarily having the natural ability to beat it, to get the ball out. And so, you know, some mistakes are being made there where you wish maybe, okay, even if the line has been a big problem, maybe he could mitigate some of that better. But like I said, at the same time, you know he can play well. I don't think people are off of him. They're just really looking for this year, you know, with some hopefully some offensive line improvements that it looks a little bit better.
Mike, were you given any indication that the view of CJ changed dramatically between the end of the regular season and his two playoff games?
No, not really. I mean, I think people, shoot, they've won a playoff game 3 years. So I think the playoff record, even though there's obviously, it was really a bad way the season ended, overall, I think it's a net positive.
Despite the four turnover interceptions? And,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
I didn't. No one was really bringing that up. I think everyone's looking at him more globally over the course of the time, as opposed to one, because it's not like it's his only playoff game, or they haven't gotten to the playoffs before. You know, I mean, it was a terrible game,
yeah.
But it was almost an exclamation point on what's been a little bit of a downturn here. You know,
yeah, and I think you know, there's if you're just honest about it, the play has just not been as good. The things like the out routes over the last 2 years used to be automatic. His accuracy, but you had somebody in there and you just kind of referenced it. You had, I think it was a defense coordinator, mentioned that he's not winning at the line of scrimmage. And it was an interesting concept where when I do college football evaluations, I talk about pre-snap plans and post-snap plans. Can you talk about what you were told in terms of the winning at the line of scrimmage? And when CJ doesn't win at the line of scrimmage, you know, then it becomes a process, potentially a processing issue where he's slower getting through everything. And then the internal clock goes off. And then that's where there's a lot of issues that can, you know, arise with footwork and poise.
Yeah. It was a very interesting conversation where the first thing that the person said to me was he's starting to fall into that category of a quarterback who's hard to protect. And I said, well, what does that mean? And the comment was he doesn't beat you at the line so you can get the ball out. He holds it. And then when he holds it, he makes mistakes. And so does that mean, you know, he's obviously was in a new system too. Is he not seeing it fast enough to get it out? I do think what you mentioned, Lance, you know, watching a lot of college, one of the things that struck me in this tiers this year was that Dak Prescott moved up five spots, okay, from like 12 to 7. And I was like, well, what did he do that he hadn't done before? And I think there's an appreciation in this day and age for the veteran quarterback who can run the show at the line of scrimmage because there used to be a ton of them, and they all retired. And if you look at quarterbacks who are in the league, they're younger. In the last few years, they've been younger than they've been in decades. And so I think we're seeing a mix of teams doing probably a better job overall and making it easier for these guys. But these guys don't have a lot of answers either, always. And in fairness, the defense is disguised better than ever, and so it's harder to be that guy who deciphers everything. But it probably feels like CJ needs some answers.
Which is interesting because the conversation surrounding CJ coming out of his second year with Sloak and their change to Kaylee was CJ wanted to do more. The belief was the offense would be better if you handed CJ more of the reins because whether right or wrong, people believe he can handle it. He certainly wanted it. And he talked yesterday, or maybe a couple of days ago, about how he needs to manage being the guy versus just accepting that, hey, maybe I make other people look like Superman as opposed to being Superman myself. Was there a general consensus about he should have more taken off his plate?
Not after just 1 year, but I think one of the great quotes in here was the old system was a little friendlier to quarterbacks who are not as fast processing, which we can see that. I mean, that system has been, it's a good system and it's worked well for a range of quarterbacks of abilities. And then the rest of the quote was last year it looked like CJ might be one of those guys, you know, who's not as fast processing. Hopefully it's just the first year in the system. But I do wonder, this coach said, do you have to make it easier for this kid so he can play fast? And they have to know that by now. I would think they would have to know that internally and have a resolution for that this year.
So jumping off the and I think they do, and I think that's one of the reasons why they've really invested in the running game, right? Keelan Rutledge in the first round, Braden Smith, Wyatt Teller, Montgomery at running back. All of that tells you they're going to try to win at the line of scrimmage, and they're going to try to push people around, and they're going to be physical, and the running game is going to be a big part of it. And, you know, then it turns into a secondary question about CJ as a game manager. And he's made he's had some good comments about, I think, understanding that he needs to learn to do a little bit more of that. You know, one of the things I found interesting is that Pat Mahomes was still number one on your list. Now, not by much. I mean, just by a shred over Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford. I think maybe one vote. But I am curious about, I thought maybe Josh would be in the number one spot because it feels like there's becoming kind of a universal Josh Allen is the best quarterback. There's an idea that, well, you know, Pat Mahomes, they were having a down year. They won a lot of one score games a year before. Last year was a bad year. Pat's coming off of an injury. Were you surprised to see everyone still give Pat that top spot?
Not overly surprised. I mean, it's barely, like you said, it's just barely. And in fact, I talked to 50 people in the league. I think it was the 47th or 8th ballot that was the first tier two for Mahomes. So it looked like he was going to hold on to it. And I think one of the things about the tiers is, they don't overreact. The biggest movements typically a lot of times are up from somebody who just, wasn't established in the league and they're not going to really you know, put him up there after 1 year or half of a season, and then they boost him. When you're that established of being that great and you've won Super Bowls, and they know, they don't feel like with Mahomes he's fallen off necessarily physically other than the torn ACL, which is a factor, but only temporarily probably. It's not like people are looking at him and saying he's latter career Peyton Manning and his arm can't do it because of the nerves. They recognize the things that are going on around him with zero run game, not even an attempt to look like you're going to run the ball, and his weapons have really dried up and been hurt. The other interesting thing, and the guy, the voters don't know this, they're not big stat guys, but you know, when Mahomes was out there, their offense was didn't look the same as it did a few years ago, but it was ranked pretty high. You know, they've become a team that really possesses the ball. Their games have the fewest possessions, and it's Mahomes kind of managing that with a combination of his legs and his arms. So I think, look, if they were to have a really bad year this year, or he were to, you know, not play a bunch, I think some more would creep in and people might start, you know, dinging him a little bit, but not so far, and I'm fine with it. I think he's earned that. He's sort of in the Tom Brady chair, as somebody put it to me maybe last year, where you're not necessarily fully reassessing him after every year because of who he is.
Was there a quarterback in the general that the general public considers good that caused the most differing opinions as far as positive and negative?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it caused differing opinions among the voters, too. I feel like, you know, Lamar Jackson was in Tier 1 last year. He's kind of been a top of Tier 2 guy most of his career, despite being MVPs. And so he was 22 votes in Tier 1, 28 in Tier 2. His legs, for whatever reason, he didn't want to run and didn't run much last year. People didn't think he was as dynamic, and they didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. They gave him Mahomes, you know, who's obviously done a lot better winning and in the playoffs and all of that. So he was one. I think, you know, Justin Herbert's a tough one because everybody would like to have him just about, but the results haven't been there, and there's kind of excuses for it, but people are a little tired of – there's reasons for it, but a lot of people feel they're excuses at this point. I guess I'll put it that way. Those were a few guys. I think one of the most interesting guys was Tyler Shook from New Orleans because he's way down there, but the people who played him were high on him. It just wasn't that many who played him because he only started less than half the year.
Yeah, he's and the rest of the league is going to go off their evaluations of, or the rest of the people you spoke with probably going off of evaluations from college. And I can tell you he outplayed. I'm curious to see what happens in year two because from year one to year two, defense coordinators will go to school on second year quarterbacks, start taking away some tendencies. Once they find the tendencies, they'll start taking them away. We'll see how Shuck does. I don't think he always performs well when he's pressured and under duress, but last year he hung on there pretty well. They added another wide receiver in Jordan Tyson, so he's going to be a really interesting one. Getting into who do you think is going to ascend, who do you think the next guy, in your own personal opinion, or maybe in talking, you know, to some of the people you did that you got the votes, who's the next guy in Tier 2 that you think ends up in Tier 1? For those who don't know, it was Joe Burrow was in Tier 1, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Matthew Stafford. Who's the next guy in that you could see? Is it Justin Herbert or is it potentially Drake?
Well, let's set aside Herbert and Lamar Jackson because they've been in Tier 1 before. Right. I think, you know, no one's going to be surprised if those guys have a great year. You know, they're going to go in, and they're right on the borderline. So let's look at the rest of the guys in there. I'm going to say probably not on Dak. He's a two his whole career. Drake May, I think, has a chance, but I think he can move up within Tier 2. I'll be surprised if he goes all the way to 1. I could see it being a little bit of a steadying, leveling off for him. I think Goff's not going to make that jump. I'd be surprised if Jordan Love does, too inconsistent. Brock Purdy is where he is. Caleb Williams, I think he's going to get some Tier 1 votes. I think when you're that reliant on your legs, there's going to be inconsistency. And so that could be one also where people really study them a little bit more and you know, he's going to have those moments. So he has a chance because of the talent and the ceiling, but all the way to Tier 1, I could see him, you know, maybe top of Tier 2. Jaden Daniels is a real easy one that could, I think. Mm-hmm. He's got to be healthy. He's got to be healthy because he debuted in this thing at number 6 last year. He was almost in tier one because he stayed healthy and played great as a runner and a passer, and they went to the championship game when no one thought Washington would. Last year, I think, rekindled some of the fears about his stature and his body and being able to hold up physically. And so that's going to be a critical variable. Like he could go either way. Like he could go all the way to tier one pretty easily. So I think down at the bottom, I don't think Baker Mayfield is. I don't think Sam Darnold is. I surely don't think Trevor Lawrence is. So those are probably some of the guys with, you know, maybe a little asterisk or a little check mark next to Caleb Williams.
That is Mike Sando. You can catch him on the and all of his great pieces, all of his great writing at The Athletic. And he does a wonderful job. If you haven't seen the tier section, and The Athletic is probably does a better job of putting together graphics. Their visual arts team is really, really good as well. So I know they do a great job with Dane and the Beast. They did a really good job with your piece with the quarterback tier. So check it out because you get real insiders, real NFL coaches, coordinators, GMs, former GMs, who are weighing in on these players. And you can kind of see what the league thinks about 35 different quarterbacks in Mike's annual quarterback tier list. Mike, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Okay, thanks. That's Mike Sando from The Athletic. When we come back, we'll jump in. I don't know which direction we'll go. We'll just see. Del, do you have a direction you want to go?
Do you want to ask people what they learned?
Is this usually when we do it?
Yes.
All right. What did you learn this week in one sentence?
It's like he's not part of the show.
Well, I don't know when John does that. And usually when we do it,
Fridays in the 9 o'clock hour.
What did you learn this week in one sentence is a hit game show.
Yes.
This one can be a little more hit or miss.
And we get a different group of people.
Yeah.
And sometimes they attack people on the show. Sometimes they don't. But coming up,
there's a recency bias too sometimes.
Yes. Coming up, what did you learn on the show this week? 713-780-3776. On the show. Not something you learned elsewhere and want to bring to the show.
What did you learn on the show? What did you hear?
You learned a lot. Maybe you learned something this morning. Lance thinks he owns people, particularly women.
It's not what I said. They belong in my not stable.
What?
That's not the way I want to say it.
Your roster?
No, that's not. Zendaya's mom is German. I learned that.
You mentioned her
squad
again.
Squad. So she's
what?
On my side.
Mm. Okay, you learned that this morning.
Yeah.
Or something else earlier in the week.
I learned Zendaya's mom is a 6'4" German-Scottish woman. I actually learned that. Well, now you learned that on the show. I learned that just because I go into rabbit holes during breaks. But her mom is a 6'4" woman that could create a potential Big 12 first team, all Big 12 center. If she
in basketball or football?
Football.
Oh, okay.
Thick bone structure.
He keeps going, everybody.
I could see her developing a big,
do you think this is
burly
helping?
Center prospect that might get drafted in the fifth round.
You only can get away with this because you're the preeminent draft expert.
That's right.
You can talk like
that's
this.
That's the only reason I look at people like that. I look at people and I look at bone structure.
I'm really glad Sando already hung up.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I didn't think about that. Yeah, thank God. He didn't know this side of me. He's like, you know, Lance is a serious-minded draft. Yeah, but
there's this other side.
I remember that after my first year doing draft stuff, I'm at a Rocket game, and I'm noticing, and this is going to sound worse than it is.
Are we going to go to break and
yeah,
get
but,
to these
but
people
let me
or
just
not?
Say this part.
Okay.
I noticed that there were Rocket power dancers that were kind of tight in the hips. I couldn't bend as well, and I'm like, it was kind of off-putting. This God almighty. She can't even bend. Like, she can't even, what are we doing? It was bothersome.
ABE, always be evaluating.
Always be evaluating. All right, 920 on this show.
You're listening to John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Do you even know the song that this is sampled from?
I've played that song so much.
If you know old school R&B like
but
I
no.
do. Yarbrough's and People, Don't Stop the Music. And just like Juicy, that's the song Juicy. It's actually M2Me. That song is better than Biggie, but I'm just saying. I'm an old school R&B fan. Yeah, this is Yarbrough's and People. Don't Stop the Music. Also a banger, not just Fat Pat, who took it and just borrowed it a little bit. All right, so people learned something on the show today. And if you listen, you will learn, and you'll have a few laughs along the way. That's our motto here.
We don't have a motto.
That is our team motto.
It's on our family crest.
It's on our family.
Touch it every time you walk into the studio.
Yeah. Have fun and learn something.
Learn something and have a few laughs along
that's
the way.
Where are we going to put that as a motto?
Make it an acronym.
Make that more succinct.
I have to make it an acronym. So what did you learn on this show between 7 and 10 this week in one sentence? Dell, you read off the names. I can't see them from here.
Got a full board. Let's go to, I regret to say his name, but Julian's here with us. What'd you learn, Julian?
Might be the good one.
We'll see.
Different Julian.
It's the good one.
I learned the Mexican baseball brawl guy was the same guy that was the Corpus Christi Hooks beat his girlfriend up in the stairwell guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you did learn that. We learned
that
too.
Talked about that on the show.
Art actually put us on that and on Twitter. It's the same guy.
It is.
Same guy they kicked off the team in 16. I can't believe it was that. Oh, no. It happened in 16. Did they kick him off in 17?
I think it was immediate. What? He didn't hang around.
It couldn't have been around. It couldn't have been 16 unless they found out about it. Well,
it was on video.
Maybe it was later than that.
Right?
But yeah.
It was a video of it?
Yeah, but it was the same guy. This guy who was involved in a massive fight in a Mexican baseball league. Turns out he's the same guy that beat up his girlfriend with Corpus Christi
Hooks. What was an amusing, this is crazy, this baseball story, into a much darker.
Wow, this guy was quick to throw a punch in him, like, oh.
We found out there's a history.
I'm learning this right now, and I'm having
fun. Yeah, did you see the Mexican baseball fight?
I saw, yes, what happened on the third baseline.
Same dude who hit his girlfriend in the stairwell.
Not great.
Yeah. It's a dark turn for that little story. That guy's clearly got some issues. Who's next up, Dell? So we did learn that on the show this week.
Let's go to Elliot. What'd you learn on the show?
Elliot,
this
you learn?
Good morning again, guys. I learned this week on the show that when Lance tells a story like the one about his son and the car battery, well, I'm sitting there thinking it's hilarious. John and Dell are on the Twitch miserably suffering, waiting for it to end.
I know. What is the deal? He literally told me he thought my battery would suck the juice out of his battery because he had to jump my car. Now, granted, it went longer than that.
Yeah, you didn't stop there.
But I'm a great storyteller. So.
Yeah, and sometimes I forget that people are watching, so my reactions to some of the things that happen on the show
they can
be
see
seen.
You doing that stuff.
I mean, he's watching.
What
on the
is
Twitch.
Your what was your face doing?
It's telling
a story.
I'm sure it's a face of annoyance. That's all. Like this is still going on.
Somebody can see your Ime Udoka face.
I guess, and not just mine. John's more centered, so you can actually see his face pretty
John
clearly.
It's bigger too.
Yeah,
it's right.
I'm
John's. John's camera is close to the face. He's got big head
on
camera.
I guess we're going to fix that at some point. He would like us to. I'm away from the camera. I'm actually we're even further away than Sean is right now. And still, they pick up my annoyance. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Next.
Let's move to Bill. He's got a question. We'll see if he learned anything. What's up, Bill?
Hey, I started wondering this week. For years, CJ has been practicing with a substandard line and defensive and backs going against absolutely the best defense in the league. How badly is that affecting his game clock?
Well, put him on hold. That may be a question for the final segment.
Yeah.
This isn't actually the segment for that. We appreciate it, Bill. We'll get to that. We should get to that. It's not
Bill's
a bad question.
Bill's an old school listener.
That's not a bad question,
I recognize
Bill.
Bill's voice.
I don't know how he practices, how that is affecting his play, the pressure he faces, simulated pressure in practice. Let's get to Larry. Larry, what did you learn on the show this week?
Hopefully John doesn't create an international incident in Canada.
Well,
I learned this week a naked man stood on the roof of the kitty train at Herman Park or the train at Daikin Park.
Did we talk about that?
No. We talked about the naked guy on some train, the News of the Weird, where he was skateboarding or whatever, but that wasn't Daikin Park.
Well, Larry learned that just in the course of his life this week, not necessarily on the show.
Yeah, I didn't need
unless John mentioned it. Was it in the middle of a story you're telling that I tuned out in?
Possible.
Okay.
It's possible.
Who knows what Bobby Dynamite's doing up there?
You think it's Bobby Dynamite? He's up to no good?
If the game's really, if it's a close game, who's looking at Bobby Dynamite?
It's true.
I don't like the fact that he came out with the name Bobby Dynamite, which, by the way, is so
antithetical. What's the word?
Yeah, you know what I'm going
to say. The antithesis.
It's the antithesis of what he is. He doesn't seem like a Bobby Dynamite. Mr. Smokey Pants makes more sense. He doesn't seem like some cool man. That's Bobby Dynamite. That's not.
Yeah, Bobby Dynamite.
He didn't give off that vibe.
He sounds like a Street Fighter character.
Bobby Dynamite sounds like somebody, yeah, that is in Street Fighter. Get over here.
That's Mortal Kombat.
Oh, it's the same game.
No, it isn't. Yeah. How dare you? Let's move.
Remember in Street Fighter where they could take your spine completely
that's
out of your
body? Now you know it's Mortal Kombat. And I just messing with me. Let's move to Anthony. What'd you learn?
Hey, so I learned this week that when you give out a specific time to win, people who listen on the app have a better chance of winning. So I'll see y'all at the listener party.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Actually, we did something, I thought, for the app.
And, well, we do have, we did have a contest for the app. But, yeah, giving a time allows people to listen or be ready on the app because they get a little bit of a delay. Anthony won on this show yesterday.
Oh, on that. Oh, that's where he won it?
Yeah, we set a time, okay. And he was able to call in. Congratulations, Anthony. We'll see you August 28th. Let's get to Chris. Chris, what'd you learn on the show this week?
I've learned that if you listen to John and Lance long enough, and I'm living proof, that you're going to get divorced.
That's
Are you guys to blame? Or Gus told us that.
There's no way they help.
That's true.
We don't help.
There's no way.
We used to do a segment where John, we won a segment every year for Thanksgiving. I mean, for Valentine's Day, you could call us. And, you know, I was in my mind, it's going to be, here's what we do. We'll call and in good nature, we'll try to hook the guy up and tell the girl, look, this is a great guy. You know, if you're having any problems with your girl, let us work on her for Valentine's Day. And we give away a gift. And John turned it into a chance to ruin the guy's life. And I don't think he thought he was going to do it, but you know how he is. He's just.
John needs a translator. We talked about it. How many times does someone who listens to the show have to defend John to the people who in the car with them?
I had to do it to Glenn Davis the other day. I'm like, no, but look, I remember when you were on and John, he goes, yeah, he brought up something about race. I'm like, yeah, he thought he was being funny.
Yeah, you have to always defend him. Yeah. Like, John's actually a great guy.
No.
So he's a great guy.
I know what John said.
I know what he said.
I know he was ragging on everyone from Hawaii. I don't remember him doing that.
Sure, he did it. I can't imagine Gus is not telling the truth.
But Gus, who got a divorce from his Hawaiian wife, said John was just wreaking havoc on Hawaiians before he turned his attention to Puerto Ricans.
Which is Gus.
But Gus is like, I know, that's just John being John. I'll still keep listening.
That has to be said all the time.
And in Valentine's Day, he would call in and like literally berate the woman or the guy, like, why are you with this loser? Like, dang, that's not the spirit of what we're doing. And then it just became that. So I can't guarantee that we are great for marriages.
No. There may be an instance where,
and both of us have been married twice.
John doesn't say anything about a specific person, but the significant other is asking, how could you listen to the show? Who am I with?
Oh, that's happened.
That has to be.
I guarantee if we did a segment where, tell us where your girlfriend or wife has listened to the show and couldn't believe that you listen to us or hates the show.
Yeah.
We could do 5 hours into your show. We could go 7 to 12.
I can go home. Yeah, with 10. You want to do that?
Good.
Yeah. We could take a shot.
Yeah, I'll go
just
home.
Let Mapes just bring people on the air.
And I'll go home. I don't care.
People learned a lot this week. Who's next?
We move on to the other Julian. Maybe we have a third call. Maybe it's the guy from San Francisco. Julian?
I'm okay with that, Julian. He just got, you know, he was just...
He's banned from my show for a week.
Still?
Well, it happened this week.
I learned that when a different Julian calls, trash-ass Lance says, that's good when he says it's not me.
Good, Julian.
Have a good day, guys.
Mm, see?
He just learned that. Actually, he learned that twice. I think I said it twice.
He should have been known that, actually.
Well, you ranked on our whole entire
he
city
went after
of
everybody.
Sports.
Pretty much called him.
Houston sports is trash. And then you hung up.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that. You can't think you're going to get away with it and not get suspended.
It's disrespectful. But what he did on my show was the gang. What is it called?
Bang Bang
Niners gang. So he's out for a week. So now he's calling this show. Let's move to the interns didn't know your name, sir. Sorry. So if you have a name that's difficult to understand, I'm talking to you.
If you're not Chris, start talking.
If your name's not Chris, start talking.
Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The name is Dave. I'm a six-year listener.
Wow.
I learned this week
that John's microphone is way louder than Lance's is.
Yeah, so that's not been multiple people have said that you need to turn my microphone up.
I keep them at the same level.
Yeah, so, I've had people say that before, that my mic sounds softer here than John's does. Maybe bring him down. He's kind of loud. You know how he is.
Okay. All right.
Italian.
Perhaps someone should speak up. Maybe someone should quiet down. We'll figure it out.
Loud mouth and talks with his hands a lot. Italian. That's the Italian side.
And disrespectful. All of it put together.
Yeah.
Let's move to Chris. Chris, what have you learned?
Yeah, I learned that when John has an off day, you're going to get a ton more movie talk than usual. Thank God.
It's true.
Although John watches a lot.
That's true.
John actually has become a guy who, here's how John's changed a lot. Soccer guy, World Cup guy.
Yeah.
World Cup guy and watches a ton of shows. And watches every, he has no friends in L.A. People don't like him.
Understandable.
In L.A., that's not his place. So he stays at home and watches a ton of sports now. He watches a ton of, like, yeah, I was watching some of that women's softball game between Michigan and Stanford. You were?
But why is he watching women's softball?
Boredom.
Okay, that's one way of putting it.
Sure. Well, I don't think he's well, you tell me why he's watching.
I mean, we've heard him talk about, is it the same reason he watches beach volleyball?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You think women's volleyball is women's softball is bringing the same heat as beach volleyball?
I can't speak to his interests. I just know.
That doesn't seem like. And by the way, I told you this, I'll say a hot take here.
Renee says, yep, you guys called Jen and now I'm divorced. I blame you guys.
Yeah. And I liked his wife fine.
But how'd you ruin it for him then?
Well, obviously we didn't help.
No. There's no way you guys help.
Renee's wife, you know, we called her. That's a great example. We call and then John immediately starts going into his little bit.
Did he ask?
Tears into the woman.
Did he ask?
I hear you're a terrible woman. I'm like, what? Oh, whoa. Don't
did he ask her what she was wearing?
No, he doesn't. No, he's respectful enough not to do that. But
what do you look like?
Since when?
Oh, I see you got it going pretty good. He sent a picture of you. Like, hey, don't lead with that either, John. No, there's been a high number of people who have been divorced. But that's just across the country. That's just a numbers game. That's going to happen. Right? That's going to happen.
Yeah, you don't hear about all the people in a happy marriage, you know?
Yeah, we're
responsible. They don't call in and say, yep, still married.
I'm sorry. Did you know that we have helped people get together, our show, especially when we were 1560? We had listener events where people met each other, become lifelong friends, and in some cases got married. So you don't ever hear about those good things. You don't hear people focus on getting divorced because of things we said on the show. You don't hear about the really good stuff.
Got to listen to both sides.
Yeah.
Whataboutism when it comes to...
What about the people who have had fruitful marriages?
This is the contrarian take about John and Lance.
What about the fruitful marriages that began because of this show, huh?
What about that? There's like one. You and Nicole.
You, me and Nicole, but...
Go on.
No, what's her name? Aria Lev. I just know...
Who? What were you about to say?
Her name is... I'm remembering a name that she used to use, like her avatar. Not avatar,
her
name.
Twitter name.
Yeah, but yeah, we've had, don't worry.
Too many to name.
Too many to name.
I'm just running through the names. Too many.
There's just too many.
We had one girl who used to call us. She was a lot of fun. She would call in, and she said that when she had to sit there with her kids, she would just go get a cherry limeade and just pound vodka in that thing and just sit there at the swimming pool with that. Like, this is the kind of woman.
Did you hook her up with one of our listeners?
No, she was with her. No, she's still with her husband. Okay. She's still with her husband to this day. There was one, I have to tell you, during a break where, during the 1560 years, she was a mess. That one.
You know who you are.
I don't know that
if you're still listening.
I don't know that we kept her with her husband. I'm going to say that. She was not.
But that probably wasn't your fault?
No, I tried to avoid that one. That one's like, oh, she's here at this event again. Terrible. Let's close the event down now.
If you notice Lance's look of disdain when his eyes were set on you, we're talking about you.
Yeah, she was terrible.
All right.
9:40. We got one more segment, and then we had two more segments, and we're up out of here. It's 9:40 right here, ESPN 97.5.
John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Typically, this is where John calls out to Dell and asks, what did we miss today on the show? And the Astros didn't play. He talked very briefly about the starters. They got the Padres for three, then they got the Giants for three. So over the weekend, you got Padre. We'll see how the Astros do. They still have a 1.5-game lead. The NFL, we talked about the NFL having the Hall of Fame game. What did we miss today?
Well, we can get to the call that came in the last segment. That wasn't what did you learn.
Let's do that first.
Bill asked, has CJ's subpar off the line, and that line going up against a great defense in practice, has that hurt CJ's ability when it comes to seeing pressure and that pressure affecting him? I think we would believe that that subpar offensive line being subpar in actual games is a bigger impact.
Yeah.
For CJ.
If you watch him, he doesn't like – he's not going to get hit in practice, so he still will go – he'll go to a third or fourth read when he would have already been sacked in practice. So does it have an impact? I mean, maybe, but – and he has seen a really good defense. Is that – the bigger question is seeing an elite defense, has it taken away some of his confidence?
Not being able to operate.
That might be – yeah, that might be worth a conversation because he goes up against – now, he doesn't always go up against the ones, but he – and he has scout team defense sometime he goes up against. But maybe going the ones, you always say the old iron sharpens iron. But last year, it's not – it may not be unfair to say because they were getting the their asses kicked.
That line is a real dull blade, so I'm not wasn't getting sharpened by the defense.
No, and CJ wasn't getting sharpened by having no success against that defense. I mean, you're also got a bunch of ball hawks in the secondary.
So anything you throw out there.
Yeah, it's dangerous. So does that hurt his confidence? I don't know. Maybe.
It is, I've never heard of someone maybe getting David Carr'd in practice. Like the idea of just eat bleep for so long that it actually affects you as a player. And normally that's like, yeah, you get sacked a bunch in games, which CJ Stroud has also done. But I'd never even considered that. It's like, oh yeah, if you just show up to work every day and just get beat, like not actually beat up, but
he's not getting beat up, but he's not succeeding.
Yeah, you just fail over and over and over again.
It could maybe have an impact on the some of the confidence. And that's possible.
It is possible.
Also,
does Matt Stafford do it?
Yeah, right. You'll hear stories about when defensive coaches become head coaches, or even like when they're just being a DC for an offensive minded head coach, where like Greg Williams would like actually try to beat the offense in practice. Like the defenses will try to like the defensive coach will be like, you know what? I know we're supposed to just, you know, be in some shell and let the offense work through stuff, but it's like, let's send an extra blitzer or something like that. Like, I wonder if there's some of that, too, where that's so defensive, you know, so swarm mentality, defensive-minded, that it is iron sharpens iron, but like we said, like, it's iron sharpening aluminum, I don't know, tin, copper.
Got wood sticks out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some of that.
I wonder if there's some, like, D'Amico Ryan's, like, just he's naturally inclined to be like, oh, we're not taking it easy.
Well,
we're not doing anything.
Well, we heard, and this was just a giant compliment to him, but that Will Anderson had to be taken off the field because he was wrecking shop. Yeah. So if that was a consistent theme over the course of the last three seasons with Will Anderson out there, then perhaps not seeing, you know, they say you see the ball go through the hoop, you start to gain some confidence. Perhaps not being able to operate efficiently offensively may have led to a lack of confidence, but there could be a lot of factors. CJ's had to suffer a couple of concussions.
That felt like the bigger issue last year is that he wouldn't run anymore. Like, you have to be able to exit the pocket and get some yards with your legs. And for CJ, if you've really followed him, you know that when he does that, his confidence level, for whatever reason, he's a different player
when he's running.
The Georgia game when he was at Ohio State was like the
most. He never did that.
Yeah,
either.
Most he ever ran. And it's like the, like, oh my God, like this guy.
Best game ever.
Yeah.
And he was famous, and actually he was infamous in Ohio State circles that he would never run zone reads.
He
would
said
never
it.
Pull it and run in zone reads.
He goes, I don't get paid to run. He said it. When people asked him, how come you never take the yards out of there on a zone read or scramble? That's not what I'm getting paid for. That's what he
said. Yeah, but that was before the NIL era when he was a freshman, so they should have investigated Ohio State.
What are you, the police?
Let's take away all those
wins. No,
yeah.
No, wait.
They got a national title. Well, yeah, not with CJ,
Well, when he was a senior, actually he was, I think there was NIL his senior year. I'm not sure.
Yeah, 22.
22 would have been his senior year, 23 draft, yeah. CJ, when he runs a little bit, he is a different. He's more confident. There's just no way around it. It happened in the Georgia game. That was most notable. It happened in the
because he had to do it
late in the half. He had to do it, but he was comfortable doing it, and he looked very confident. It was just a different person in that game. You have here's one we didn't get to. Here's a couple stories we didn't get to. Aaron Donald had a workout with the Rams.
I want to correct one thing.
Go ahead.
He said it's not his job to run.
Uh-huh.
Says running the football was not his job. Not that he didn't get paid to.
Okay, not his job to run.
No
investigation. Yeah, your job is if they crash down. Actually, the very job you have on zone reads
is
if they crash
the
down,
end, yeah.
You read it and you run and you can slide into it. It's actually part of the job.
The assignment of that play.
It's actually the design of the play is to read and take advantage if that guy crashes down because the numbers are in your favor.
I don't like that 4-year-old quote or however old that quote is. Don't really like that. Don't like hearing it.
Your guy needs to run more.
Run for his life.
Manning.
Last year. God.
Yeah, but Arch needs it. Sark needs to figure out
he
more
doesn't
design,
get paid to do that,
design runs.
Literally.
I would argue he gets paid to run more than he does pass, but I'm not big
you
on
think
him.
Think Walby? What's the brand new?
Warby.
Warby. Warby Parker glasses? Pays him to run?
Or
I don't Viore think so.
Viore board shorts?
Yeah, they don't pay him to run.
Yeah.
Viore board shorts pays him to get the 17-yard gain and then get out of bounds. But you know you can't get out of bounds as a college quarterback. It's almost universally known that you are, for whatever reason, they have it in their head that they have to finish
lower
runs.
That shoulder to prove.
And Jackson Dart learned the hard way in the NFL, you'll get knocked out of games in the pros. Yeah. But in college, it's a known thing. You don't slide. Rarely do you see slides in college. Rarely. And in the pros, that changes really quickly. Aaron Donald worked out for the Rams, and now they're waiting to see if he calls to say he wants to come back. This is a joke. This has been a known thing since he posted on Instagram. As soon as they traded for Myles Garrett, he had an Instagram post like, "I've been staying ready," and it shows one of his workouts. He's an insane workout guy, and I just right when I saw that he posted that, I thought, "Oh, he's coming back." This is 100% he's coming back. Sure enough, he worked out for him. What do you think he's going to say? Yeah, I worked out. You know, I took all the time to get ready to work out, but I just don't think I'm coming back. He's 100% coming back. You also yesterday had Jahmyr Gibbs. All of the running back dominoes are all officially falling now. You had Bijan Robinson getting a monster deal with an extension for 3 years, $66.75 million. That was the other day. Could be worth up to $75 million. Then Jonathan Taylor got a 2-year deal worth $47 million. That could be worth something like 51, I think. Now you have Gibbs going 3 years, 67.5. So going about 750,000 less in total money, but 75.75 million. So 750,000 more in guaranteed money, or it could be worth that much. I'm sorry. He got 500,000 more in guaranteed money from Todd France from Athletes First, his agent. So Jahmyr Gibbs now the highest paid running back in the league. So boys, we've got Bijan Robinson.
Go ahead. What about the the inside linebacker market picking up Henry Toto?
Yeah, that's actually our guy. We didn't talk about that.
You don't like it.
I didn't like it, and I'll tell you why. Because it goes against what I've been preaching, which is you got to get rid of him and bring in a rookie contract so that you can't keep paying everybody. Because I guess they can. You're not going to pay Tolu Tolu and let Kamari Lassiter walk or let Bullock walk. You still have to do Lassiter, Bullock, you've done Stingley, you've done Anderson, you've done both linebackers. CJ's coming up with a deal. Nico got more money. I'm like, dude, who in the world are they? Like, where's the money coming from? They're just going to go piecemeal your offensive line? I guess you could keep drafting rookie deals.
2-year deals on the veterans you've brought in at not big money
with
Smith and Teller, and that might be the way they go.
Anticipating probably bumps in salary cap, too.
Yeah, and you hope that.
Rookie deals at wide receiver. Your boy Jalen Noel just got taken off of the.
He always picks some random guy.
He got taken off the pup list.
Not my boy.
He wasn't even a pup list, but was he
non-injury. He was taken off the non-football injury.
So your guy's back on the practice field?
Stop saying he's my guy.
So Toto, what kind of money was it?
2 years, $16 million. Mm-hmm. So they've paid both inside linebackers.
How much guaranteed?
I'll have to take a look. I don't remember what it was.
I mean, they're probably not cutting them in year two, I don't think. But you never know. They could. They could if they decide to get – and even if they do CJ's deal, it wouldn't kick in until the sixth year. So
we don't have the numbers fully on what his guarantees are.
So your linebackers are both dialed in for extensions.
Yeah.
So you've got – now this is the last year for Daniel Hunter.
Is it?
I thought he got re-up.
I think he got an extra year.
Oh, no, that's right. They redid his deal with voidable years, but they redid his deal for financial purposes. Okay, so you got both ends, your linebacker. You got your rookie in I don't know about Tommy Togiai. You got your rookie is locked in. I mentioned both linebackers. Kamari's under contract. Is this year three? This is year three for Kamari.
We're thinking
so he's locked
extension.
In for two more years for sure, even
but
though extension's coming.
Extension's coming. Come, yeah.
Kalen Bullock is going into his third
year.
Well,
we talked about this, Sean. What about a Kamari Lassiter extension? You could argue that he's the best CB2 in the league as far as does he get paid like a CB1?
Oh, his agent's going after CB1 money.
And if he gets CB1 money, can the Texans handle that? If that's what he demands.
Well, they can't not handle having him.
How much are you going to pay two cornerbacks?
It's kind of rare to have two high-paid corners in the NFL.
So how much are you going to pay a second cornerback?
If you do that, well, I don't know. I have to see what Sting's
at
cost
30,
is,
right?
But you're going to have Kalen Bullock that's going to get paid. Like I don't know where. I don't know how they're doing this. You're going to have to go cheaper. Which positions are you going cheap at? That's
offense.
Why I thought they would
offense.
Go rookie.
Clearly offense.
It's going to go offensive line, I guess. But you have to stay cheap at defensive tackle. You're going to have to draft linebackers and have rookie contracts for linebackers.
So right now the top paid corners are Ward, who got a deal this offseason, Trent McDuffie, Ahmad Gardner, and Stingley, all over $30 million. Then there's a drop to J.C. Horn at 25.
That's APY?
Yes, average
per
year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to be going – Are you throwing 27 to 30 for Kamari Lassiter?
You throwing $57 to $60 million at your cornerback spot?
Golly,
and
man.
Safety with Bullock. And,
that is a this is why I thought you told you let him play it out, and then you I still think Nick made a mistake there, but he knows the money. You let him pay that. He is a replaceable player. I think D'Amico loves him, but you need to stay ahead of it by drafting a rookie in like the second round, and you plug a rookie linebacker in, and you've got rookie money going for 4 more years. You open up a rookie spot. You've got rookie at defensive tackle with a second-round deal. That's 4 years instead of the 5. You're locked into a rookie contract for 5 years with your center in Rutledge. I'm not sure where the money's coming from the Texans, because they're going to be – I mean, Hunter will be gone by the time you have to pay Lassiter.
Yeah.
So you can plug Hunter money into Lassiter, you know. Some of that, I don't know how equal it's going to be, but Hunter money will go to Lassiter.
So I'm looking at...
Aziz money may potentially end up going to Bullock.
So I'm looking at the cornerback, the top paid corners, and trying to find out a team who's paying their cornerback duo the most. It looks like the Browns with Ward at 31.1 and Tyson Campbell at 19. So you're talking a little over $50 million for two corners. And as we just laid out there, the Texans may be far beyond that when it comes to time to pay Kamari Lassiter.
All right. Let's end it right here. That's going to do it for the show. There's no news of the weird. John, we honor John by allowing him to be the only person to do news of the weird. That's how I honor his
It's like
dad.
A retired number.
Mm-hmm. I'm retiring that until Monday when he comes back. So thanks to Dell for jumping in. Thanks to Sean Mapes. They're going to stay in their same seats. And continue
I'll move over.
Don't move to this seat.
I'll move over a couple.
All right. He'll move back over to this seat.
A different chair, though.
different chair. Thank you to you guys for listening all week or just today, whatever you did. Thank you for participating. You got the Astros going this weekend. If you're going out to open practice, remember, don't record the one-on-ones and don't record team the stuff. Team stuff.
And if you don't remember, there will be someone in a red shirt telling you not to. They'll come find you. We saw the video of it.
Oh, they do?
They take their people and the people who are who work for the Texans, who will walk up into the
stands.
Stop
giving away trade secrets. We're trying to win a championship.
Well, Woody Marks was telling everyone he's split out all the time now.
Shut up, Woody.
Yeah.
We're trying to trick
Keep
people.
That quiet.
Stay quiet. Okay. Thanks for everything, guys. Y'all have a great week, and keep right here for Dell and Sean coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Bye, babe.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.